You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen with you, as I always am, Fridays, 11 in the morning, Pacific time here on the West Coast. And you are on the couch. As always, I've got a great show for you today. Many times I offer you self-help experts, lots of authors, public speakers, spiritual enlightenment folks, and all that. But today I've decided that my special guest is going to be you. That's right. So what I'm going to be doing today is trying to answer your questions, give you some suggestions, possible advice, if you have any questions regarding anything going on in your life, or any questions you may have heard from guests who were on the show in the past, talking about something in particular. You can email me instantly here at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com if you have a question or a situation going on. I would love to hear about it, and I will pull them up as fast as I can in order and try to help you out and answer some of your questions you may have. Also, if you'd like to get your voice on the air and you're not shy, you can give me a call here live at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Feel free to call me because you're my special guest today, which I'm so happy to have you here, everyone listening out there live on the couch with Dr. Michelle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer some questions that have been coming in from past shows. And I want to follow up on them because I promised you that I would try to answer all these questions that you have. Many of them are relationship questions. Sometimes they apply to the guests on hand that we're having, and sometimes they don't. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to give you some information on, things as well, like having healthier relationships, how to make your relationships work, how to talk to your significant other without getting into a screaming, yelling argument, things like that. And these are very important because, you know, frankly, as a psychologist, this is most prominent in my office. Many clients come in to see me because they have a lot of relationship problems. And I've worked with people for about 17 years now who are having problems in their relationships. And there are certain guidelines that really are helpful that we all need to follow when it comes to talking to our significant others or husbands or wives or partners or whoever you're with. And it really does help if you follow some of those guidelines, because it's called talking to your loved one with appropriate words, caring, reaching out, understanding, not accusing, not commanding, none of that stuff. So we're going to be looking at that and just kind of answering questions today. So I encourage you to email me now at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. I do have two L's in my name, by the way. Some Michelles have one. I have two. And, of course, if you'd like to call here on LA Talk Radio's couch, you can do so, 323-203-0815. Now, I received this email a couple of weeks ago. And her name is Abby. So I appreciate you writing me, Abby. She says, I'm a 22-year-old college student at San Francisco State. I have been having dizzy spells, fast heartbeats, and sometimes I can't catch my breath. It makes me feel like I'm going to die. My best friend usually helps me talk myself out of these situations, but she's not always around. I think these are called panic attacks. That's what it sounds like. I worry a lot about my grades and can't focus all the time to study. I also have a part-time job as a waitress. My family, who lives in Palo Alto, not too far away, is always on my back to come and be with them more. I am so stressed. I feel guilty a lot. What can I do? Okay, Abby, thank you so much for emailing me. Let's talk about the symptoms you're having. It really does sound like panic disorder because let me tell you about some of the symptoms that are very common. This is how we diagnose panic disorder, Abby. Pounding heart, lightheadedness or dizziness, as you explain. Also, you can have nausea, flushes or chills, shortness of breath, and shaking. I don't know if you shake or tremble, but that goes along with it. Feeling terror. Sometimes, as you mentioned here, you feel like you're going to die. I mean, that's frightening because you can't catch your breath. Shortness of breath, feeling smothering, choking, feeling of being out of control, or you actually said the words that are in the characterization description of the DSM, going crazy, fear of dying. So a lot more people are coming in with this disorder, and I see it. The good news is that nobody's ever died from a panic attack. That's good news. So I want you to know that, Abby. I want you to say, I am not going to die. I can manage this. First of all, you can take control of this. And you need to breathe and you need to think differently. So I understand people with panic disorder have feelings of terror. They strike suddenly and repeatedly with no warning. It sounds to me like you are way overstressed. You're taking too many classes, probably, as a lot of busy students do. You're overwhelmed, you can't focus, you can't study, you're working part-time as well, you have stress going on from your family, and I don't know what that is about necessarily, but it sounds to me, you said you feel guilty. And a lot of times guilty feelings cause stress. So you're bringing this on and you're getting overwhelmed in your mind. Your mind's going 100 miles an hour. Oh my gosh, I have to study. Oh, I have to get to work tonight, and then I have to try to stay up so I cannot, you know, fall asleep, and then I have to study, and then, oh, I forgot my parents, but I have to study, and I have to make excuses, on and on and on. So I hear this a lot. So what you need to do, honey, is just try to really take good care of yourself and know that you can manage this. I would suggest that you call a local therapist. I do know that on San Francisco State, I used to live there, they do have a counseling campus for students. So if I were you, I would go in there and I would start describing what you're feeling, some of your fears. You need an outlet to talk to somebody. And you also need to learn how to manage your panicky symptoms so you won't be overwhelmed. May I suggest you might also cut down on some of the activities you're doing? Maybe the semester's ending. Maybe it's just beginning. Maybe you're in the middle of a semester. I'm not sure where you're at. To me, it seems like summer's coming up and a lot of classes are starting to end. But you might think to yourself, next semester, I'm not going to take on so many classes. Or you might, if you've just signed up for classes, give yourself a break and drop one. You know, I'm not saying do this. These are just suggestions to lower your stress level. Work a little bit less. Explain to your family assertively that you love them so much, but you are slowly becoming independent and need to get out there in the world and find your own way. That's why you're going to college. So I assume you're living on campus and not with your parents in Palo Alto because you said you try to get out to visit them. So anyway, you need to lower your stress, Abby, and I would suggest you go talk to someone on campus because it sounds to me like you're working. You know, say you're working as a waitress to try to make extra money. Just listen and understand that the feelings are normal bodily reactions. They're not harmful. They're just unpleasant. So don't add frightening thoughts like negative, unpleasant consequences. Oh my God, I'm going to die. Okay? Wait for the fear to pass. Allow it. Relax. Sit down. The moment you're feeling it, I have clients who, many of them college students, funny enough, who in class have panic attacks. I tell them to put their heads down on their desk and do the slow breathing in and out, in through the nose, slowly, as high as you can go, filling up your lungs, and out through the mouth. And relax and know you're going to be okay. You're not going to die. Do this about 7 to 10 times. You may feel a little lightheaded because that's what we're doing. We're getting oxygen. When you begin to feel better, look around and say, I'm okay. So you might cope also in your thinking by, I'm going to change my patterns. Stay in the present. Don't judge your feelings. Thoughts and feeling are not actions. Relax. Change your life to a more comfortable place. Take on less stress. Don't kill yourself. This is not a race to the finish line. Slow it down. When you get older, you're going to learn this. And I know you hate hearing that, probably. You're going to learn that you have to take it easy and find some enjoyment in your life. Sounds to me like you're always running and working and studying and find some enjoyment. Cut some of that class or studying time out to find some relaxation and enjoyment for you. So do some breathing, completely relax your body. If I were you, I'd have some imagery while you're having a panic attack of a really nice, lovely place. In your mind, wherever your dream vacation would be, when you're breathing, go to that place of being in a beautiful environment. Breathe. Relax. Know that you have complete control over these symptoms. Doesn't feel like it at the time, but know you're not going to die. You're not going crazy. It's just the way the body deals with stress. Sometimes they just come on. It's a delayed reaction, but the mind's always working, you see. And stress is a normal physical response to things that make you feel threatened or upset your balance, and that's what's happening to you. The body's defenses kick into high gear. Autonomic processes go wacko. It's the fight or flight reaction. It's the old brain, honey. So I hope I helped you understand. Be patient with yourself. Be patient. You're not going crazy. It sounds to me like you're having panic symptoms, and you can manage it by managing your outside stressors. Take more time for you. Take more time to relax, enjoyment. Be more assertive. Say, I choose to take care of myself, and I'm not going to let this get the better of me. Life is not a race, you see. Also, you might go to your general practitioner, honey, and just check out, have a physical. Have a physical exam. I'm not trying to scare you, but it's always good to have a physical. You're young, you're probably just completely healthy. It's always good to have a physical exam. Tell them what you're feeling, okay? All right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and you're on the couch with me, as you always are. My special guest today is you, and I look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like to email me, I have several coming in right now that I would like to answer. If you have a question or you'd like some advice, suggestions, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but I will try to, you know, give you some examples of what I've seen in the past and things to explore and think about. Doc Michelle is where you can reach me, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com, D-O-C Michelle at AOL.com, or you can call me live here on the air at 323-203-0815. All right, we're going to move on, and this is from Alan. Can you please give me some help with me and my girlfriend of 2 years? Our relationship has gotten progressively worse over the last year because we're always arguing over stupid stuff. She thinks I don't listen to her, and I get tired of being criticized about my job, my income, the way I look, the amount of time I spend with my guy friends. I don't cheat on her, and I think I'm a nice guy. Sometimes I just get tired of fighting and start raising my voice and criticizing the things she does. Can you give us some suggestions on how to get along better? I'm worried that she may never change, and if I marry her, I'm stuck with an angry woman. Yeah, that's a concern of a lot of guys that I hear. But you can work this out possibly. I mean, you guys have been together 2 years. Sounds like you're getting something from it. And you said it's gotten progressively worse over the last year. So kind of look at what might have been happening about a year ago. sometimes we have to look at life's events, because when things happen, if you lose a job or she loses a job or, someone in your family passes away who's close, someone gets into an accident, you move, you know, there are all these stressors going on. And sometimes, you know, we have to just sort of look at what might triggered it. But you might go ahead and look back and see what triggered it, Alan. See if there was, you know, something. And you guys, if there was a major event going on, you guys need to kind of take a look at what it was and possibly talk through it. When you talk through your conflicts, it's really important to stay focused on what you're dealing with. You said it's stupid stuff you argue over. You know, stay focused on what you're talking about. Don't bring up any past hurts or other topics. Stay focused on the present, your feelings, and understanding one another. Listen really carefully to what she has to say. And ask her, when you're talking, don't talk over each other. Ask her to listen to you. Could you please listen to me now? It's my turn. This is what I feel. Try to see her point of view. And when you're talking to her, after she talks to you, say, I really kind of see your point of view, but this is how I feel. Respond to criticism, by the way, with empathy. Because when somebody starts criticizing you, it's easy to feel that they're wrong and get defensive and all that. Many times, you know, it's exaggerated. She's frustrated about stuff. There's stuff going on with her. So you've got to feel what's going on with her. It's not all about you. And own what's yours as well, Alan. Realize that personal responsibility is a strength and it's not a weakness. Take responsibility for screwing up or saying something or, you know, yelling and screaming and getting into the fight. You know, she doesn't make you feel like stuff. You make you feel bad. Okay? Use iMessages when you talk with her as well. And I mentioned that earlier. Rather than saying things like, you really messed up. You. Begin the statements with I. You know, I feel frustrated when this happens. You know, it'll make her less defensive. And look for a compromise. Take a time out. If you guys are freaking out, I used to have a couple who would just scream and yell at each other. And I'd say, you guys need to follow these rules to talk to each other, but you also need to take a time out because neither one of you are going to stop down. So say, I choose not to go any further with this argument, and I'm going to stop down right now. Get away from each other. Somebody take a walk. Somebody go into the other room, close the door, listen to some music. Take time out. Take a half an hour out. Don't count to 10. That usually doesn't work. Take a time out. Get away from each other. And don't give up. You know, the goal of really communicating with each other should be mutual understanding and finding a solution that pleases both of you guys, not winning the argument. This is not a competition or being right. You know, have some humility. Listen to what she's saying, and then use iMessages. I feel really kind of frustrated when you keep criticizing me like you don't want to be with me. Is this where you're going with this? Be calm. Don't yell. Lower your voice. The lower your voice gets, the lower her voice will get. It may really make her angry, but it'll calm down the whole environment that way as well. Just some ideas. Again, suggestions. All right, Alan, I thank you for emailing me. You are on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen. That's me, and you are my special guest today. If you'd like to email me, you can do so. Ask me a question. I'll try to help you at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And, of course, I'm taking live calls here on the air at 323-203-0815. And we have a caller right now. Hi, you're on the couch with Doc. Who's this?
Hey, Doc. This is Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great today. How are you?
Good. Good.
Just to start off, I want to say it's such a pleasure to finally be on your show. I've tried calling in before, but unfortunately, I guess you just had too many callers. But this is I'm a first-time caller.
Great.
Long-time listener.
Nice to have you with me, Kyle. Love to have you with me. So why have you called today?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just a little nervous.
Okay, don't be nervous. It's all good. Just breathe.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. My boyfriend, we've been going for about 4 months, almost five.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. He's literally like the guy of my dreams. Like, I couldn't like even imagine like being with anybody else. But
okay.
I feel like when we go out a lot, like he just like is constantly like looking at other guys. Like
Uh-oh.
It doesn't even matter like if they're, you know, gay or straight. Like he'll just like look at them and like go away really quick. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it hurts
and
your feelings.
I don't know. I just want to be able to tell him, like, stop looking at other guys.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I don't want to come off like this, oh, like, I'm so overprotective, like, stop looking. Like, I want to be, like, the cool, you know, boyfriend.
Right, right. So, Kyle,
what do you like?
I hear you. How old are you?
I'm 24.
24. And how long have you been going with your partner?
About 4 months, almost 5.
4 months. Okay, so that the relationship is still early, right? When did you come out of the closet? When did you come out to your family and friends?
Well, I was pretty young. I was about like 15.
Okay.
When I first realized I was, you know,
gay. Okay, that's fine. And was it comfortable for you and your family? Did you have a difficult time or?
Oh, no, my family was so supportive. Like, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be the person who I am today.
Kyle, that's wonderful to hear. I'm really happy for you because, as you probably know, a lot of your friends have had a difficult time, you know, coming out and being honest with their families and friends. So good for you. Have you had long-term relationships before?
Have I what?
Have you had long-term relationships before?
Yes.
Okay, so you're capable of commitment, and you really care about this person you're with right now, right?
I really do. I just feel like there's a really strong connection there, and I just don't want to feel intimidated by other guys, you know?
Right, right. Well, listen, you guys have a really open communication style with each other, correct?
Yes,
all right.
For the most part.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, like, there's things that, like, we haven't told each other and things
sure.
that we don't, you know, want to, like, things that it's kind of like, you know, we won't, like, bring up or something, but I don't know.
Right, right. No, I think it's always good not to bring up the past or how wonderful sex was with somebody else or, you know, the great closeness you have. I mean, it's nice to talk about the fact that you've had other close relationships, but details are really uncomfortable sometimes. Especially with someone who you want to form a better relationship with. But the reason why I ask you is if you can calmly talk to him and use I statements. I was just answering a question with someone who emailed me named Alan, and he was talking about how to... Okay, good. How to appropriately express yourself and get your point across and get those feelings across. So they're not hurtful. And I know you sound like you've been holding back, but when you go out in public and your partner's looking at other guys, you're holding back, you're quiet, you're looking around, and you're feeling really uncomfortable. So what I would suggest you do, if you guys have a nice, simpatico relationship and you can talk to each other, I would, at a particular time, just say, you know, I have noticed when we're out in public that you look at other guys. You know, sometimes this is just a suggestion. You use your own words, Kyle, however you wish to express yourself. But use I statements. Sometimes when I notice you're looking at other guys, it makes me feel like you're out there looking. Maybe you're not interested so much in me. Maybe you're not happy to be with me at this moment and you're checking out other guys. It makes me feel kind of sad, because I would really like to be with you in this moment. So how do you feel about that? Ask him, do you think you're doing this, or do you notice that you're doing this? Because I just want you to hear that I care for you a lot, and it does sort of hurt my feelings when you seem to be rubbernecking looking at guys all the time. I mean, I just sort of like to know your feedback. And ask him if he gets really defensive. Then just observe that, because you know the reality that he is checking out other guys, right?
Well, yeah.
Sometimes
like,
when people get defensive, that means that they know that they aren't telling the truth. If he says, no, I'm not, defensiveness usually means, yes, they are defending something that they know they are guilty of.
Right.
So I would just use I statements and say, you know, sometimes when we're out, I feel sort of forgotten in the moment when we're here, out at a restaurant or a club or whatever. I feel forgotten because you're out there looking. Are you interested in looking for other partners? Because, I mean, you're interested in this relationship, right? You're committed pretty much to this person.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely, you know, setting a good expectation.
Okay. All right. Well, Kyle, I would just be very calm. No accusatory statements. You are a dog. You are looking for other... You are... No, just I feel sort of ignored. I feel hurt, however you want to say it. But use a nice statement and be gentle about it and ask a question. Are you interested in looking for other relationships? Are you interested in going out with other guys and having sex with them besides being committed to this relationship? Like, I would do that.
Like, kind of just setting, like, you know, setting a guideline of what we're doing. Like, okay, like, where is this going? Like, do you like me? Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the talk that you need to have that really establishes where he's coming from. And maybe he's been avoiding that talk because he does want to go out with other people, or he's shy, or, you know, to tell you, I really care for you. I enjoy you, but this is not, you know, you're not the one and only. I do want to have sex with other people, or I want to have a relationship with other people. You just have to find out his motives. So it sounds to me like if he did want to pursue having relationships, whether they were intimate or not, with other people, you wouldn't want to hang around, right? You'd want to go further and find someone who wanted to commit to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Doc, thank you seriously so much. It's been such a pleasure to finally be on your show. I love you, and we always listen to your show.
Well, I hope when you say we, I hope it's your partner listening, and maybe from this moment onward, you guys can have some kind of a nice talk together and just, you know, be honest with each other and tell him that he can be honest with you. Just tell him to be honest with you and find out what he really needs in this relationship. You sound like a great guy, Kyle. Thank you so much for calling, and I love having you out there. And thanks for being one of my many guests today on the show.
Dr. Michelle, have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you want to call, as Kyle did, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And many times I have special authors, self-help speakers, motivators, spiritual enlighteners on the show to help you have a better, more joyful life out there. But today you are my special guest, and I'm going to try to help you if I can with suggestions on the air here. If you'd like to call in, 323-203-0815. Of course, you can email me. I do have a lot of emails that have come in at docmichelle@aol.com. I'll try to get to yours. Today, I'm trying to take them in order fairly. docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. I have a couple from last week that I wanted to clear off the computer here so that I can help you out. So, let's go with it. This one's from Angela, and she wrote, I need advice. I'm 27 years old and still feel that I attract many people in my life who try to control me. I would describe myself as a nice person who's easygoing. I usually go along with plans that my friends make because it usually doesn't matter to me. Some friends say I'm a good listener and will tell me all their problems, but sometimes I don't feel like they are interested in my feelings or problems, so I keep quiet. I grew up in a family that had a lot of control and fighting, and I think I hated it so much that I became easygoing and more withdrawn. But in the last month, I've been building up these feelings of anger towards a couple of my friends for making me feel like they can control me and that I don't matter that much to them. What can I do? Do I have a target painted on my forehead? Angela, I've heard this a lot before from people who are a little more passive and not as assertive. And I understand about your anger, because what happens is when we feel like we're being controlled and we shove those feelings down, and we feel like we're not being heard, it gets worse. Because we all need supportive friends. We all need an outlet. And it sounds to me like you've had a rough time in your family, a lot of control and fighting. So you kind of shut down. That was your way of coping with a tumultuous environment at home. A lot of fighting, a lot of control. You shut down, and you're 27 years old, and here you are still not being as assertive as you would like. I find that a lot of young women in their late 20s start to come to enlightenment. They get frustrated. They start having a lot of second thoughts about their lives and who they are and what they're doing. And it's a good time. It's a great time for you. But what you certainly need to do, Angela, is, you know, go ahead and allow that anger. Don't push it down, because it sounds like you push down a lot of feelings within you and thoughts in order to cope. And that's your style. That's called survival in a crazy environment when you're growing up. But it sounds like you may need some assertiveness training. And, of course, you've heard of that, I'm sure. It's the ability to express your feelings and kind of assert your rights while respecting the feelings and rights of others. So what you may need to learn to do is be a little more direct, be more open, be more honest, clarify your needs to other folks. Okay? You sound like a great friend. You're a lovely friend because you're a good listener and you're there for them. The kind of friends you deserve are ones who are willing to listen to you and take their time to be with you. And if some of the friends you're with don't want to hear you or don't care about some of your feelings, maybe you need to change it up a little bit socially. Okay? Sometimes we attract a lot of people who are controlling and overwhelm us in our lives when we become adults that we are used to in our family situations. A lot of times people attract partners that are just like their mom or dads that control them because it's comfortable and that's all we know. So we, you know, are so used to shoving our feelings and emotions down into the subconscious. We shove it, shove it, shove it. But what happens is when we become more independent and enlightened, we start to get angry. You're not only angry at them, Angela, you're angry at yourself for allowing it. And I say hallelujah, because it's about time you feel this. Now, if you're a little more passive because that was your survival skill, honey, you probably don't know how to adequately communicate your feelings and needs to other people. Okay? Sometimes you may be fearing conflict because you had a really conflictual environment. So you might want to just kind of shove down your feelings. You let your needs go unmet and keep your feelings secret to keep the peace. You know, you let others win always. You know, you deserve to not avoid anymore. You deserve to be kind and listening as you are, but assertive. I don't want you to feel like a victim anymore. I don't want you to avoid. I want you to be honest about your needs. So let's talk about some assertiveness, the way you can talk. Because sometimes, you know what? When your girlfriends keep talking about themselves, and then when it comes to you talking about yourself, and they kind of turn off or whatever, they may be in a pattern or being used to, this is the way it is when I talk to Angela. Sometimes other people don't even know that there's a problem. So, you know, you need to be really appropriate and express it to them. So let's talk about using assertive skills. And this is what you can do just to kind of do it in public. Start in public, and then you can feel a little more comfortable with your friends sometimes. Let's say if somebody cuts in front of you while you're waiting in a long line. A passive response would be just let the person stay in front of you. But you may be in a hurry. You may have been standing in that line for a while. So an assertive response would be to assume that they may not have seen you in line. You see, not, hey, jerk, get out of my way. This is not okay. Go to the back. Most of us talk like that. That's what most of us do. Or other people just let it go because they don't want to have problems. What you have to say is, excuse me, I was in line and I've been here for a while. I'm sorry, but you need to go to the back and wait. We're all waiting here and we're all tired. Okay? Or something like this, Angela. Here's another suggestion. Your friend who can talk all the time calls to vent about her bad day. Right? But you have a lot of work to do. You don't have time to talk. And instead of, you know, an aggressive response, which it doesn't sound like you'd do, although you are angry now. You know, you might say, look, I don't have time. Just work it through. Get over it. I have my own stuff. And that's what a lot of people do. You know. Or a passive response would be to let her talk as long as she needs and figure that your time can suffer. Oh, I can listen to her because I'm a friend and I don't want to lose her. No. The assertive response would be to listen for a minute or two and then be really compassionate and say, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry you had such a bad day. I really want to talk to you about it later, but I don't have the time right now. So can I call you? What time can I call you tonight? And if you can't call her tonight because you're working and going crazy and busy and all that, say exactly that. But I really care about you and I'm so sorry that you've had such a tough day. I'm here for you, kiddo. I'll call you tomorrow in the morning. And that's it. That's what you do. What you might do is go online and learn about assertiveness training, Angela. You know, this was your coping skill. Shove it down in your family that you say was had a lot of control and fighting in it growing up. And that you hated it so much you became easygoing and withdrawn. You were the good kid. You walked on eggshells. You went within. You shoved it down. Your voice was not heard. Your voice was not important. That's the message you got early on. But you do deserve to be heard by others. You do have feelings. You do have a voice. You sound like a lovely lady. Understanding the way that you coped with your early environment, your survival skills mentally, helps you understand that those necessarily aren't going to make you a happier person right now. Because you are an adult, you are on your own, and you need to be assertive and share with others what your needs are. Because the more you shove things down, the more you walk on eggshells around each other, the more you act that you are not noticed or that you're not important, people will just assume that you feel that way about yourself and they won't do anything to change. You need to be assertive, honey. And I thank you for emailing me. And you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen. And if you'd like to give me a call, talk on the air, you have a question about relationships or whatever, you can do so at 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, or email me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. And I'm pulling up some of the emails here, trying to figure out what we can do. Okay. Here we go. Dear Doc, what do I do if I've fallen in love with a married man? I'm single and 28 years old. There's this wonderful guy who's 36 years old, who I've been working with for 6 months. He never wears a wedding ring and has always been sort of flirtatious and charming. We started going out to lunch with the work gang. Then it was drinks after work. One thing led to another and we had sex. After 3 months, he told me that he was separated from his wife, and now we're together almost every Saturday during the day and some nights. But he never spends the night. He swears that he's not still living with his wife, but he won't let me see where he lives. Aha! He's so wonderful, and I feel like I love him. What should I do? Okay. I understand that sometimes because all the warnings in your head, you may find yourself really falling in love with a guy. I don't know. Let's see. You're 28 years old. Okay. All right. We don't think about who we fall in love with. Yeah. Sometimes married guys are often admired by some other women. Maybe it's the idea of forbidden fruit. It got more and more intimate with you guys. Sometimes you have to think about you want what you cannot have at the beginning, and now that you've got him, it's even more exciting. Maybe he's a great guy to you. Seems easy to fall in love with. But I hear it all the time, and a lot of women make a mistake. And it is a mistake. Okay. No judgment. Let me just tell you what happens when I hear this a lot from women who fall in love with married men. He is still married, of course, obviously. He's not spending the nights with you, and he said he swears he's not having sex with his wife. All right, whatever. You want to believe him, that's great. But falling in love with a married man can have some really severe consequences, as you probably know. You're already asking me. He doesn't spend the night. What's going on? He doesn't spend the night. This can lead to heartbreak, frustration. And if he is still married, this can really break up a good marriage. I don't know if he has kids. He's 36, you said? You're, what, 28? Okay. He has kids? I don't know. If you're involved in a situation like this, you got to find out the truth. If he's not having sex with his wife, is he... Get out of this relationship and find a guy who's not married. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you have to see him at work after you decide to end the relationship. It'll be really awkward. But I just want to ask you where you want to be in your life. Do you want to be with someone else's husband? Do you want to be that other woman? Because time and time again, it is a dead end. The fact that he's not letting you see where he lives and won't spend the night is a signal that he's still living with his wife. Or maybe he has his own place. Maybe. But why wouldn't he let you over there? Ask yourself this. Do you want to be leftovers? Don't you think you deserve better? I'm telling you, honey, there's a reason why he's not showing you where he lives. I think he's living with his wife. All right? I think it's also important for you to ask yourself why you allowed yourself to fall in love with a married man. He's a cheater. You know, get out of the relationship. Separate. Let me know you're separated for a long time. Let me see the divorce papers. Because many times when there's a separation going on, they go back and forth and back and forth. I would get out of the relationship if I were you. If you're totally in love with this guy, what I suggest you do is just know what you're in store for. There may be a lot of heartbreak. Back and forth, excuses. This is already a red flag that he's not letting you know where he lives. That you're the let's go out to dinner Saturday night, have sex at your place, and then I have to leave kind of guy. There's something going on, girl. There's something going on. I hear that you love him. What concerns me is you describe him as being sort of flirtatious and charming at work. That's the danger zone. One thing led to another. That's what happens. Guys sometimes who are married, sort of flirtatious and charming, they're cheaters. They're not being honest. I would start going out with single guys. Put it out there. You sound like a great gal. You work. You're 28. Hey, you're single. You don't owe anybody anything. Also, examine within yourself why it makes you feel good to be with someone else's husband. What are you getting out of this, girl? Are you feeling better? I got him away from her. Not good. Not good at all. That's gamey. Get some self-esteem, honey. Feel better about who you are. All right, moving on here. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch with me, and I'm taking your emails today. You are my special guests, and docmichelle@aol.com is where you write me. I have received a lot. So I'm going to jump in here. Okay. I met someone through the internet about 2 years ago. We hit it off right away, and there's something that just clicks with us. I am married and have a young child. He's married and travels a lot. We've tried to keep away from each other online, and somehow after 2 to 3 weeks of parting, we pull together again. We've not met because it would end up in an affair. I've now walked away again knowing it's right, but how can I stop myself from pulling towards him again? Okay. The feeling to get towards, to pull towards him again, I see. The feeling to pull towards him again is there once again. I'm not sure it is there for him too. Please help. Thanks. This is from Ariel. All right. You say you've never met because that would propel you both to have an affair. It's possible that the reverse might be true. I mean, maybe in real life, Ariel, the attraction would not exist. I mean, this is the whole cool thing about the internet. You really don't know much about people. They can lie. So you don't have your senses like looking at his eyes, the tone of voice, touching him, smelling him. You know, all these things are not there. You can't look in his eyes, see how he really is, see how he honestly speaks. There's always the possibility that if you were to meet, that may really end the attraction. So for some reason, this is great. You know, it might be dangerous too, because the attraction could increase. Now, you're married. You have a young child. What are you doing online? What are you doing? Take care of the child. Take care of your husband. Make him happy. Be with him. You're starting a family. Don't look out there. Ask yourself why you're looking for other relationships, why you're interested in surfing the web or having friends online. What's missing within you, honey? What's missing within your marriage? You know? You really need to end this so-called internet affair. It would be a good time for you to take time and put that into your real life. Okay? You're not dealing with reality. You're dealing with online emails about someone who you don't know. How do you even know that if he sent you a picture that that's who he looks like? That's who he really is. Could be dangerous too. All right? You may have to just gently tell him that you've decided to spend more time with your family. It doesn't feel right. This is the time you've pulled away. This time, stay that way. It's not a healthy thing to do. Why are you having fantasies? Go pick up one of those Harlequin romance books. That's a great fantasy read. Okay? Go read 50 Shades of Grey. You know, maybe it'll make you feel better about your husband. Look at yourself. Go to see a therapist and find out why you're avoiding your current marriage and being involved as a great mom for your child. Why are you online communicating with a secret affair? Don't do that, honey. No judgment here. I say all that, and I really do mean it. No judgment. Because you have to figure out the motivation behind why you're doing this. Are you sad? Are you lonely? Is your marriage sexless? Then create more of a wonderful, compassionate relationship with your husband. Focus on bringing up your child. But do go see someone you can talk to who can get these things straightened out and help you go within and figure out why you're reaching out to a stranger who you don't know anything about. Why do you need this fantasy? You don't need it. It's not really healthy. Look within yourself, honey. And I wish you well. And I thank you so much for emailing me. Well, this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and it's about that time to end On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. But you know what? You can stay on the couch because there's more great shows coming up. Thank you so much for everyone writing and calling and being my guest today on the show. I hope I helped you out. Again, we do not have a therapy relationship, but just giving you advice and suggestions on how to look at things a little better and healthier to make your life happier. Have a great day, and as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others, okay? I'll be talking to you next week. We have Beverly Flaxington on. It's all about having better relationships, baby. Take care.